Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you until the 8 o'clock hour, our third hour on this Sunday morning. It's Game Day Sunday morning. So glad you're with us and you're taking us along with you wherever you're going. If you're just getting off work, if you worked overnight and you're headed for home, or if you're headed to work this morning, if you're headed for Sunday services on this Sunday morning, thanks so much for letting us ride along with you. Chilly outside, but the clouds are breaking. I don't think we're going to have any rain today. This is a nice sunrise outside. Now that the sun is finally up, John Batnarowski, Marietta Daily Journal here. And for a while, it was been dark, and all of a sudden, we got some sun out, John.
Yeah, it's not quite so early anymore.
It was early. But we just been here today. Don't forget, it is a game day. Pro Bowl coming up later on today. And next hour, we're going to spend some time. Will Lutz is going to join us. He is the kicker. And for Pro Bowl, of course, he's with the Saints, but also Georgia State's first Pro Bowler. He's going to join us at 9:20. You want to be listening out for that. And we got Hawks basketball later on today. Hawks are home against the Washington Wizards. Pregame at 5:30, tip at 6 o'clock. Hawks and Wizards from State Farm Arena, and you can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, John, I have this piece of Corningware that I have that I brought back last week. You know, this was something that was brought to me, and all of a sudden just presented, had a little foil over it because there was something inside. There was some mac inside this, a little mac and cheese, and Greg had prepared it. Now, Greg is good at mac and cheese. Matter of fact, he wants to challenge Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, because the mayor, she had a little problem with her mac and cheese. So Greg was, I won't say she had a problem. It looked like there was a problem. Everybody said the mac and cheese tastes fine, Mayor Bottoms. But Greg's was Greg's own point. It's not the first time I've sampled his mac and cheese. And so I want to make sure and bring the container back. And I want to make sure, but I mentioned it, there's no name on the bottom of this. You know, when people take covered dishes to events and like church and whatnot, Tupperware, they put a little piece of tape on the bottom of it with their name, like Miss C. Wright. Miss Smith, or whoever put it on there. And so you didn't put no, you ain't put, see, leave it now. I brought you back, but I know it's yours, but you didn't put no name on the bottom of it like the lady with the devil eggs at church, man. So I got it back. See, Greg smiling, and that's why I brought it back. Anyway, it's nice and clean, and he'll get to take it with him today.
Yeah, it's nice and clean, but, you know, a minute ago he was talking about how much he loved you.
Yeah.
He didn't love you that much. That's only about a 3-bite container.
No, that's good stuff though. Like you get that. He said, "Why don't you go home? You can stop and get you some Publix chicken to go in." And that was just a suggestion. I actually did that, and it went along with it quite well. But
I mean,
yeah, man, know, that's good.
I look at that.
They get a lot in there, man.
That's, you know, good. That's like a half a bowl of cereal you can fit in there. I mean, you know, if you,
that's great.
If you love somebody, give them, you know, bring him that big rectangle 9-inch, you know, no, the dish.
I was like, he said that was his. He kept that at home. Well, he kept that one at the house.
Like I said, he doesn't love you that much.
Spending time this morning, and we've been talking about a week for greats. We've had some greats on display in tennis and golf this week, and basketball, as we talked earlier when DeShante was in about LeBron James becoming third on the all-time list NBA. We saw Serena Williams leave early than usual at the Australian Open. We used to seeing her, you know, be contenders and play well at that event. Last time she won the event, she was actually expecting the last time she won. Coco Gauff seems to be ascending to that. She was eliminated late last night, early this morning, whichever, in her match after getting to the fourth round, but her first time playing the Australian Open. So that's some greatness that we managed to see this week. Roger Federer continues to survive. You talked about the match that you saw with him.
Yeah, that was a 5-set thriller where they were playing a superset tiebreaker to 10, win by 2, and Federer got down 8-4, and there was almost no way to come back. And yet he did.
Yep,
and yeah, you won the final 6 points to win that tiebreaker, and he's walking off the court looking like, how did that happen?
And when you think of one of the greatest players of all time, you have to think that way. It was a big challenge, and he just won one today that wasn't as much of a test. To see him at his age continue to perform at that level, that's the thing about the greats. Here's a guy who they figured was done years ago. He couldn't win a major event, took some time away, and that's the thing that's tough to do with a sport like tennis is take the time and just let your body heal. And yeah. I think that's something that Rafael Nadal had to figure out. People thought he was going to be done because of his knees years ago. He's still there, and he's, you know, the number one player. It's something like those guys, you look about them and their longevity, they figure something out. And Serena Williams as well. Sometimes less can be best.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when you're talking about the all-time greats, you think of Michael Jordan. You know, the early parts of his career, it was the highlight. It was the dunk. It was the flying. It was the tongue hanging out. It was this. It was that. At the end, he was still Michael Jordan, but his game had changed. He was more of a, you know, he perfected his jump shot. He found ways to get it done. All these guys, that's, you know, that's what Roger's doing. He's finding ways to get it done. That's what Serena does. She finds ways to get it done. Because, unfortunately, when it comes right down to it, there's only one opponent that is still undefeated.
Ah.
And that's Father Time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The clock ticks for everyone. The clock does continue to tick. As this is a, as Greg would like to say, a red shirt Sunday, because Tiger Woods is playing this week. And on the final round, he wears his red shirt. Had a hot and cold round yesterday, finished with a round of 69. He's at 7 under par. He's on the second page of the leaderboard, five strokes back, but he got so many ahead of him right there. John Rahm is your leader right now. The Torrey Pines shot a 65 at 12 under par. Talk about what we've seen with this guy. And you, by the way, talk about you returning to Augusta. He's going to return to Augusta this year, as will you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going back down there. It's always nice to begin April amongst the azaleas.
Dogwoods.
But yes. but yet, you know, Tiger worked his way up the board yesterday, got within two shots of the lead, unfortunately gave a couple back, really couldn't get anything going on the back nine. He's 7 under. He's 5 shots behind John Rahm. Odds are, you know, there's like 12 guys in front of him. So unless Tiger goes out and shoots 63, I don't know if he's going to have a chance to win this one. You know, it's Rahm's to lose, but only 3 back, and with only like 3 or 4 guys in between, there's a guy by the name of Rory McIlroy that I think could have a big day today.
Yeah, that's what we watch for. Watching for him as well. We see some other names there as well. Patrick Reed is at 8 under, as Tiger is at -7, and also at 7 is Best Bubba Watson. We talk about guys who've done well and who've won at Augusta before. Also, yeah, we appreciate what we see with Tiger right now, because he shows you some of those flashes from years ago, but you know he's different, just the physically different, having to do some things differently, the challenges that he's had on the course, off the course, and it seems like he appreciates it a little bit more. And I'm going back not just to last year, but the year before when he won here at Eastlake. One of the most gratifying things, one of the most amazing scenes I've seen at any sporting event, all those people charging up 18 on that Sunday. What's about the fact that the way he seems to handle that and process it at this stage of his career?
In order for Tiger to win, he's got to have 4 perfect days. And I'm not talking about his play on the golf course. I'm talking about he's got to be able to get up in the morning and his back doesn't hurt, because it takes him 2 and 3 hours to warm up, loosen up before he picks up a club in order to get to that first tee. So, you know, when you talk about majors, odds are Masters is probably going to be his best one, because he has the local knowledge of the golf course. They keep going back all the time. He knows that place like the back of his hand. There are going to be other places like Torrey Pines where he's probably going to be in the mix because he knows the course backward and forward. But it is difficult for him to get ready, to get loose, and it's going to take 4 perfect days of health. And unfortunately, now that I believe he just turned 44, you know, I'm 50.
How does that make you feel? Tiger Woods is 44 years old. Ooh.
You know, I'm 50, and I know if I wake up in the morning and something doesn't hurt, I got to go check the obit page. So I can't imagine what it's like, you know, for him after multiple surgeries on his back, his knees. You know, it just it takes a lot for him to get ready to play. And, you know, he's going to catch lightning in a bottle a couple of times. He did it earlier this year over in Japan when mm-hmm. he tied Sam Snead with his 82nd win. He's going to get that 83rd. Whether he gets it in a major or not, I don't know. But, you know, he's going to win a few more times, but it's they're going to be few and far between.
And I think he realizes that, and that's why we see a little bit of a different demeanor with this Tiger. He seems to enjoy it a bit more, take the time to enjoy it more, enjoy the spectators more. He smiles more takes more time with them than he used to. He used to be this guy that looked like he could walk and stare through a wall. That's the way he was so focused and whatnot. And he still is. But it just looks like he takes the time to enjoy it a bit more.
Well, I think the best indication with that was when he was captaining the President's Cup team.
Yeah.
Because you saw the barrier come down a little bit. He was able to relate to people. And, you know, he's out there having fun. You know, it's nice for him to let his guard down a little bit. And I think the players appreciate that as much as he appreciates the love that he's getting back.
Yeah, well, obviously the players appreciate it because he's come back. You know, your ticket sales come back, your television ratings come back, your prize money probably creeps up just a bit. Everybody, you know, everybody has a bigger slice of a steak, drives a nicer car, and one more car in the garage when Tiger plays. How about that?
that doesn't hurt. And you know, it was funny because all the kids that are on top. Now I say kids, but all the guys that are on top of the leaderboard now, the Justin Thomas, the Rory McIlroys, the Jason Days, the Jordan Spieth, they all grew up watching what Tiger did on YouTube. And they always wanted to say, I really would like to play Tiger Woods when he was in his prime.
Yeah.
They've seen just enough of that to realize, no, we don't.
Yeah. And not just him, but how the crowd responds to him and pulls for him. They get a chance to experience that, and they will later today out at Torrey Pines. All right, folks, Chop Fest yesterday. Braves there talking about the 2020 season, and John was there as well. We're going to talk more Braves and maybe get some of your thoughts and calls, 404-741-0929. That's coming up in the next segment. Stay with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Alex Anthopoulos once again talking about the Braves, the young talent, and the bottom line. That's very important. It's about the checkbook as we continue on this Sunday morning. Sam Crenshaw with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Nine floors up in the Kia Studios. Got John Bednarowski, Marietta Daily Journal, here with us, spending the morning with us. And you were at Chop Fest once again yesterday. When you hear him say that, you know, what instantly comes to mind for you as far as decisions this team has to make going forward or be prepared to make going forward?
Third base and outfield.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about one of the guys that we had a chance to talk to yesterday, Ender Inciarte. You know, he's going to be in a unique position because if you think about it, Ronald Acuna, I think he's going to play. They just signed Marcell Ozuna for $18 million for 1 year.
Yep.
I think he's going to play. Okay, so that's two of your outfield spots. The only problem is you got four other guys, potentially six other guys, that are playing for that one remaining spot. You know, Ender's three-time Gold Glove winner, career 290 hitter. You've got Nick Markakis, who, for some unknown reason, was not at Chop Fest yesterday. I'm not trying
missing,
to...
Missing?
Not
there?
Look, I don't know. He may be on vacation. He may have had some other commitment. I don't know. All I know is that he wasn't there.
Okay.
Adam Duvall had the great year at AAA, worked his way back up into the majors. He's got to play somewhere.
That guy, when he got called up, played like something was chasing him.
Yeah.
I'm not getting back on that bus. I'm not riding that bus again. And that, to me, that's the way he played when he came up.
And if Austin Riley's not playing third base, you know, do you send him back down to Gwinnett? So I'm looking at it. You've got a gluttony outfield. I'm thinking two of those guys aren't going to be with us by the time camp breaks. You know, unless, you know, Riley's willing to go back to AAA. And I know he's still got some options. He doesn't really have much of a choice. But he's got to be playing full-time somewhere. You can't have him sitting on the bench.
Nope, you want him to play.
If you're looking at potential trade partners, you know, Ender, he's 27, 28 right now. His contract is about $7 million a year. He's under contract for another three seasons, including this one. He'll be 31 at the end of it. He's a three-time Gold Glove winner. There's going to be a lot of people that are looking for outfield help. And I think he might. This might be the time where he could maximize the return, because he showed the last month of the season when he got back into the lineup.
Yeah,
you know, he wasn't necessarily supposed to play, but he got in there, got hot, had one of the best months of his career. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Braves do in the outfield going forward. And I think a couple of those guys will not be with us when camp breaks and we start the new season.
Something to think about, something to watch out for as far as the Braves goes yesterday. What about catcher? That position, of course, Brian McCann calling it a career at the end of last season. Thoughts about what we may see there? Because when I think about the team and people want to compare this team, those who remember the team of the 90s, up the middle defense was crucial for that. And you figure – you got your up-the-middle defense. Behind the plate, you want to know who's that person going to be. We're still going to be platooning that a little more, a little less. What do you see happening?
Well, I think it's still going to be a platoon. They re-signed Tyler Flowers.
Right.
And Travis D'Arnaud came over. He's going to be the other half of that platoon. Freddie Freeman was really enthusiastic about Travis yesterday when people were talking about him. He expects big things from him. We know what Tyler Flowers is going to present, and I know he gets a lot of grief. He had a little trouble with some pass balls last year. I don't think he'll have that problem going forward. That was, you know, that was out of character for him. And, you know, for everything that everybody complained about, every time I looked up, Tyler Flowers was getting a big hit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they're going to be fine at catcher.
I came in here to throw a monkey wrench into the conversation because I know you guys are just too nice to do this. And, John, when I ask you this question, I just want your general thoughts. I know this was a subject that was avoided like the plague yesterday at Chop Fest. But you brought up the name of Brian McCann, who's retired. Has anybody heard Brian make any comments about his former team? And I don't mean the Braves. And he was right there in the middle of all that scandal with the Astros. And Brian McCann, probably more than anybody else, is considered in baseball sort of the what do they call the guy who holds the key to the fortune. He's the one who sort of keeps people in check when it comes to baseball's unwritten rules. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he being on that team, have you heard anything about that? Because I haven't. But moreover, when you heard about what was going on with the Astros and them being busted the way they were, what was the thoughts that ran through your mind?
Well, considering, you know, I'm a lifelong Cleveland Indians fan. You know, I'm born and bred in Cleveland, and the Indians, you know, got swept out of the playoffs by the Astros in 2018. Trevor Bauer was very critical of the Astros for the last couple of years, you know, calling them out on social media. And Mike Clevenger, who's one of the Indians starting pitchers now, you know, came out, really ripped them, and said they should be ashamed. Yesterday, there wasn't a whole lot of talk about the Astros. I didn't hear it brought up. There wasn't really any talk of Brian McCann. But, you know, a couple of days ago, the White Sox at their fan fest, mm-hmm. we had Dallas Keuchel
right.
come out and apologize and say, you know, that he was sorry, and the rest of the teammates from the 2017 team should also apologize. So I don't know, you know, the problem is the guys that are no longer on the team seem to be the ones that are apologizing.
You're right.
You know, Justin Verlander made the joke yesterday during a media event for the Astros that the Astros are just more technologically advanced than other teams. And, you know, you've got guys that are doing it with a smirk. And I don't think they realize what's going to hit them this year, because they're going to go. Can you imagine what Yankee Stadium is going to sound like
when
the Astros take the field?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, are you surprised, though, with how swift baseball has dealt with that and the repercussions, both not only in Houston, but also in Boston? Are you surprised with how that's been dealt with?
Well, and New York, because
New York,
Mets
right,
lost
because of the
Carlos
Mets.
Beltran.
Right.
You know, the three managers have been shown the door. The general manager in Houston is gone. Jim Crane, to his credit, has said, we are going to apologize, and these players from the Astros are going to apologize. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, really.
But I think Major League Baseball did what it needed to do. Now, the question is did they come down hard enough on the Astros? There are a lot of people that are saying that the players should have been disciplined more severely. But, you know, when it comes right down to it, was every player, you know, yeah, they probably knew what was going on, but was every player
playing
taking
a role
advantage
then.
Of
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that's the thing.
So, you know, that's kind of a difficult spot. But, you know, you can't take the stuff away. History is always going to know that the 2017 Astros won the World Series.
Right.
You know, you think about it, the 1919 Black Sox?
Right.
They threw the World Series, but you know what? You can go back and their stats are still there from that World Series. You know, Shoeless Joe Jackson hit 372, went, was it 12 for 32 in the series?
Yep.
So, you know.
But they still don't let him. They still let him in the Hall of Fame.
That's a big question going forward.
Absolutely.
You mentioned that. What's going to happen down the line, and how is this team going to be remembered because of that?
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, we mentioned Dallas Keuchel, former Astro and former Brave, now with the White Sox, and he's saying everybody was using the multiple signs, which is not supposed to be done. I don't know where that goes. And once you get to spring training, could we see some finger point of some guys on some other teams? Or will this be it? People just say, hey, guys who apologize for it, and that's it. Let's go play ball.
Well, you know, pitchers used to be able to take care of these kind of things.
Yeah. No, we won't see that happen either now.
No, but it's called self-policing. And, you know, if you know that you got to step into the box against somebody that's going to buzz you back, you're probably going to – you may not want to steal those signs.
Yeah. That has a way of restoring order, huh? We're thinking about that. Just some thoughts about that. Always great talking about that. We're going to get touch on some more of yesterday's Chop Fix as we go along. Coming up next, though, I'll get some thoughts on Australian Open going on now. And always, you're able to join the conversation if you want to. 404-741-0929. Text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. On this game day Sunday morning, this Pro Bowl Sunday morning, we're going to talk that next hour as well. You stay with us here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGames.com. Sam Crenshaw with you on this Sunday morning, working our way up to the 10 o'clock hour. Willie P. will join you then. Don't forget, basketball coming your way later on today. Hawks and Washington Wizards. Pregame 5:30, tip-off at 6 o'clock over at State Farm. Coming up later on today, see if the Hawks can get a big win and get back in the win column with the win over the Wiz today. John Bednarowski, been hanging out with me here in the studio this morning, and we've just been talking a lot of things, especially yesterday over at Chop Fest with the Braves. And we talked about some of the players to watch. You talked about the infield. We talked about the outfield competition there. We talked about the catchers. Any other stories you think about yesterday, someone that really caught your eye?
Well, you know, over the last few years, the Braves have been real good about finding local talent, drafting them, and getting them into the league. And one of the guys that they drafted a couple of years ago came out of Etowah High School. His name's Drew Waters. And he's got a spring training, non-roster, spring training invite.
Okay.
His first year, he worked his way up through single A. Started last year at double A and tore the cover off the ball. Great potential outfielder. Got promoted to Triple A for the last month of the season. So he's going to be back down there in spring again. And it was fun to listen to him because he is very self-assured. He is very confident in himself and his abilities. Not cocky.
Right.
But in order to play a sport at that level, you know.
You got
to
have it.
You got to have that confidence.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that we were talking about is, you know, when he was at Rome, he was about 180 pounds. You know, he's 19. You know, he's just a kid. The last year, he's really gotten to work with the Braves nutritionists. And one of the things that he's done is, you know, he gained weight, gained strength. He's up to around 195 now. But they've altered his diet.
Okay.
And we were asking him, he said, you know, how has the nutritionist, you know, changed your diet on a day-to-day basis? And he said one of the big things was just don't go to Chick-fil-A three times a day.
Oh, whoa. That's a big change.
He said that he'd been known for getting the chicken sandwiches and the waffle fries and all that. He's backed off of that. Now it's more of a true grilled chicken, rice, vegetables. He says it's a different kind of 195.
Okay.
And this young man's got all the talent in the world. And he's one of those guys that's, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. He goes down to spring training and all of a sudden he hits 540 something like that for the year. And all of a sudden now instead of four guys playing for that one spot in the outfield, you could have five or, you know, Christian Panache.
Yeah.
Is another outfield prospect. He's on the 40-man roster. He's going to be down there too. So there is a lot of young kids coming up at a lot of positions, and that's why you're seeing the Braves sign some of these veterans to one-year deals as opposed to multi-year contracts, because as Alex said in one of the sound bites, he says, you don't want to block the young players because you've got to have a spot for them to play, and Waters is going to be one of those kids that we're really going to have to watch here in the next year or so.
Another local product that the Braves signed that looks like he's got a pathway and aim to play with the big league club. That's amazing. And you talk about the impact of having a program like the Braves here and the kids who've grown up going to the ballpark, obviously, and watching the Braves. I'm not surprised. I guess we shouldn't be surprised that we're producing that kind of baseball player. And obviously, you and Cobb County, they all come through the back door over there. That's the proving ground. But the Braves are able to get their pick of that as well, seems like, pretty consistently. They always have.
Well, you know, they've gotten the McCanns and the Francoeurs. They've gotten the Dansby Swansons. They've got the Drew Waters. You know, another kid that's coming up was by the Braves 400 fan club, I think is what it was. Trey Harris, former McEachern standout, another one of my Cobb County guys, was named the minor league player of the year in the Braves organization. He started at Rome last year, ripped through Rome, went to high A at Florida, kept tearing the cover off the ball. At one point, he got promoted to Mississippi, which is where he will probably start this year. They had an outfield of Waters, Harris, and Panache. And, you know, that's potentially a major league outfield playing at Double A.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. They kind of have that kind of talent. And that we found a lot of it right here from my area, wanting to go and play for the big league club. That's simply amazing. We always talk about high school and the fact that you see a lot of programs, obviously, the programs in Cobb. When we think about the state championship, it literally has to come through Cobb County, almost has to every year.
With baseball, you've got Pope, you've got Altoona and Harrison in Class 6A, you've got Walton in Class 7A. The Kennesaw Mountain is traditionally a strong program. Kell is really good in 5A. Lassiter, another, they're 7A for one more year. They're going back down to 6A. We have a lot of really good baseball. We have a lot of really good everything, you know, when it comes right down to it. But it's fun to see the baseball talent that is – That comes through our county every year.
And that's the remarkable thing. When you go to the ballpark, you look at the rosters of the teams that come in, and you say, okay, this one. And it's practically, it's throughout the majors. And that's what people always talk about the state of Georgia. And it's dipping back into high school. I always tell people, you're not recruiting Georgia. You don't want to win. And people say, well, it's football. No, it's not just football. And we talked basketball earlier, but baseball, you got one or two kids from our area who always drafted in the top two rounds each and every year.
Yeah, let me tell you a side note, because we were talking about Kell here just a second ago. Adam Morgan came out of Kell. He's a pitcher for the Phillies. Kell had its first Hall of Fame class. They've started a Hall of Fame. They're about 20 years old as a high school now.
Yep.
Their first Hall of Fame class was inducted this weekend. How's this for a class? All right. Adam Morgan, pitcher for the Phillies.
Okay.
Brian Randolph, three-time All-State safety who went to Tennessee.
Right.
Jonathan Dwyer, played at Georgia Tech and had a nice NFL career with the Steelers.
I think he played baseball there, too. I think it's pretty good baseball, Jonathan was, when he went to school there.
He got there, or I got here right when he was graduating, so I never got to see him play baseball. Yeah. I don't know. Kendall Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
Seven-time NCAA champion and Olympian from there, the track star that went to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Latazzori, wrestling coach, long-time, excellent guy in Cobb County. For a first class,
that's pretty
hefty.
Yeah, you're raising the bar pretty high. How do you follow that, huh? That's remarkable, remarkable, remarkable. All right, next hour, folks, we are going to talk some football because it's a game day for the Pro Bowl. But up next, Casting Call. Stay with us on Sports Radio 1990 Game at 1990game.com while you're doing something else.
Now, for the most part,
if you're
usually
just having a game. Well, the game's on, allegedly.
Allegedly. Now, personally, I would like to see, because, you know, the Cleveland Browns, my guys, they are the official Pro Bowl dodgeball champions. And I think that's the equivalent of at least one Super Bowl.
How about that? Finally.
You know, Jarvis Landry, you know, he's got some hands there. He did the AFC proud. So, you know, it's a football game. It'll be on. Like you said, you might be doing something else. But, you know, it's sad. We are going through, not to get political, but just as an example, you know, the President of the United States is being impeached. It's being broadcast on the major networks.
Yep.
The combined ratings, I don't think they got a million people watched it during the day.
Probably
you know,
not.
That's
probably not.
That's way behind the usual soap operas that were in their place. The Pro Bowl is going to have ratings of, you know, like a 4.5 or something like that. And that just goes to show you what people think is important.
Yeah. Well, and plus it's Sunday. It's what we normally do on Sunday this time of year. And like you said, it's the last one, you know, left before next week. Last one to do. Now, we did have an event last week, Sports Radio 929 The Game last night. Had Game Bowl, in case you missed it. We did have Game Bowl out at Stars and Strikes on Roswell Road. Fourth year that Sports Radio 929 The Game has had the big event. Our winner was Roderick Allen. We want to say congratulations to Roderick Allen. This one, he is a two-time winner of Game Bowl. And as our big paper football competition that went on last night, he won by 6 points in the final. He won the first ever Game Bowl, and he was in the Elite Eight last year, losing in sudden death, but he won again last night. So congratulations to Roderick, who was the winner in the paper football contest. But that's you know what? That's how some people spent this Saturday of the weekend, waiting for the Super Bowl to come. You know, you find different ways to do. You want to get some competition, want to get a bit of a football fix, competition. I guess that's one way of it. So you wonder just what people are doing to get mentally prepared for next week being your final game.
It's you're going to be having a football withdrawal. I mean, if you're an NFL or a college fan, it's football withdrawal. They do the best they possibly can to fulfill the next 6 months. And, you know, you're going to have your talking heads and all that. But
yeah,
it's just not the same.
No.
You know, now basketball really gets to kind of take front and center.
And you catch up on what's been going on this season. And we want to catch up with that, obviously, with the Final Four coming to our area this year. So we do want to focus on what's happening with that. But at the same time, the football is going away. But one college note we hadn't talked about, changing with the coaching staff over in Athens.
Yeah.
We hadn't talked about that this morning. What do you think is going to be the impact of Coach Coley leaving? Did that surprise you at all?
A little bit. But what it was is, you know, Kirby brought in Todd Monken, who was the former offensive coordinator for the Browns.
For your Browns.
I'm not trying to say that he's not going to revitalize the offense and all that, but I just want to remind everybody, we had Jarvis Landry on one side and Odell Beckham Jr. on the other, and the offense couldn't find them the ball. I'm just saying. So.
Whoa. Yikes.
No,
that's not a ringing endorsement.
Well, no, but Freddie Kitchens called the plays. I think Monken's going to be fine. The big loss, you know, because Coley, when they moved him, they made him assistant head coach which is a promotion but a demotion at the same time.
Can you do that?
Yeah, in this case, okay. You know, because you're not running the offense, you know, at that point. Coley is a great recruiter, and he is going to go out there. I think he's going out there with Jimbo out of Texas A&M, going to be the tight ends coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they can keep all the kids in Texas, you know, Texas A&M is going to be a handful for a lot of people. Getting another one of those guys that's a top-notch recruiter is not going to hurt their program in any way, shape, fashion.
They worked together before at Florida State, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
And so now he's going to be back with him. Just, you know, I was kind of surprised. I mean, obviously, yeah, it's a step down to be taken down as OC. But you figure as assistant head coach, you want to see what kind of – what is he in charge of? What is his role? And we never really got to see what that was.
Yeah. I have no idea what an assistant head coach does. but I, again, you know, it's one of those where somebody was brought in to take his job. And, you know, these coaches are proud. They have egos. I think that was probably the clash. Somebody, you know, I don't know if Coley got his feelings hurt, but I think he's out working with a guy that he's comfortable with. And I'm sure that there's going to be some opportunities down the road for him to move back into that OC position.
Yeah, we would do that. So I've been reading a lot of things and hearing a lot of stuff from a lot of Georgia fans who, you know, some, you know, were glad to see him go, but others do voice that concern about him being one of the best recruiters on the coaching staff. And that's one of the things that allows Georgia to be where it is right now as far as one of the programs nationally. It's the guys who recruit the most, the best. That's what's happening at Clemson. That's what's happening at Bama. That's what they had at LSU, and that's what it takes to be in that conversation consistently.
Yeah.
You can draw the X's and O's, and, you know, with Vince Lombardi, but if you ain't got the horses, you know, that's a whole different thing. You don't have the players to do it.
Well, and that's one thing that the question was at Georgia, did they have the horses? You know, this year was a little bit different.
Right.
Because they didn't have the receiving corps that they had in the previous few years. But – they still had the running backs, but, you know, it's always funny when you look at Georgia, and my office has a lot of Georgia grads in it.
I'm sure, yep.
But, you know, everything was always Mike Bobo's fault.
Now, okay.
So now Coley has the offense. I'm sure it was still Mike Bobo's fault. But
see, that's just bad. That's just bad.
So, but you know, it's never the players, it's never the head coach, it's always the guy calling the plays.
Yeah, folks. It's John Bednarowski, Marietta Daily Journal, has been in with us all morning long. We've touched on a lot of local things, sports and sports, local sports with national implications. Jake Fromm taking off early. You see that? I didn't, but did you? And then does it make sense to you now that you had a chance to process it?
Well, now looking at it, it makes sense. I mean, he's losing his running back. He's losing whatever wide receivers he had. But four out of the five offensive linemen left. So, they're reloading, but everybody that he has a comfort level with is gone. So it makes sense now. But if you look at his numbers, obviously they're not as good this year as they were last year. You know, he's not going to be a first-round draft pick. But I think he'll be a second-day pick for somebody. But, you know, we'll see. The one thing that he's got going for him, and there are a lot of head coaches that really look for this. This was a staple for Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells would not draft a quarterback that didn't have at least, I want to say, 25 college starts. You had to be there for at least 2 years. Fromm's been there for three. There's a lot of tape. And people know exactly what he can do, and he's going to get his shot in the NFL.
Yeah. He's going to get that. He's going to get that. And Georgia, of course, got a graduate transfer is going to come in. A guy that could give them a little bit of a different dimension as far as him being the mobile and come out of the pocket. Not that he's going to do it all the time, but that he's a threat for that, and opposing defenses are going to have to respect it.
Yeah, but, you know, the offense is not built for that. You know, that's what that's the problem they had when Justin Fields was there. They didn't know what to, you know, they didn't run the RPOs and all that stuff that would have made him effective. So it's going to be interesting to see how Monken deals with this for this 1 year. And then, you know, this is the true stopgap because they got arguably the best pocket passer in the class of 2021 in Brock Vandegrift to come commit to them earlier this week. So I have the feeling that he will be the next 3-year starter over at UGA.
Okay, we watch for that. Of course, we mentioned today there is a game going on in the Pro Bowl. Last time you've been to Orlando. When's the last time you went down there?
Last spring.
Okay, you've been rather recently. I haven't been in a while. You know, used to go there a lot for Braves spring training. Obviously, they were at Disney. They've moved now, but you know, so now. Pro Bowl is there. Rather be there than Hawaii? I don't know. Feeling the way the temperature is outside, I'd take Hawaii today. But they're in Orlando, and we hope in the next segment we will hear from someone who is going to play a rare NFL game day interview. Will Lutz from the Georgia State Panther from the New Orleans Saints. Next, from Orlando and the Pro Bowl, and we continue on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw, John Bednarowski. On this side of the glass, Greg's on the other side of the glass. It is a game day Sunday. No, the big game is next week. But there is a game taking place in Orlando today, John.
Little Pro Bowl.
Little Pro Bowl. I would say little Pro Bowl, but you know what? It's a big Pro Bowl if you never played in the Pro Bowl before.
That's true.
And that's true for our guests joining us down the waitforit.com hotline from the New Orleans Saints and a product of the Georgia State football program, the first Georgia State Panther in the Pro Bowl. Will Lutz, good morning.
What's up, Sam? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, great to talk with you. Congratulations on the honor and achieving being a Pro Bowler. And while we may say it's a little thing for some guys who do this every year, this is the first time for you. What has this week been like?
Man, it's been so cool. It's such an honor to be here. I'm still kind of starstruck walking around the hotel, knowing I'm sharing the hotel with some of you guys. It's just a really cool honor, and, you know, I'm taking it in as much as I can. And, you know, I think once we move on from the loss into the season, it just you kind of see how special it is to be here. And we've got a game to play today and kind of top it off with a win.
Thoughts about the game and how that's going to be and leading up to it. And what does a kicker do during Pro Bowl week? We know there are a lot of different activities, and I've seen guys kind of take it easy. When the game was in Hawaii, you see a lot of guys hanging out on the beach with their families. What does a kicker do during this week?
We just enjoy the entertainment. you know, we kind of just soak in the experience. You know, practices are very laid back. They're, you know, walk-through tempo. And, you know, I do kick because, you know, I'm here with a different holder and a different snapper. So, you know, we got to get our timing down there. But just like everybody else, we just kind of soak in the experience. And, you know, although there is a prize on the line at the end of this game, it's just so relaxed. And that kind of is what makes it special for us.
Well, I got a question here. You know, I've heard horror stories from first-time guys that have been to the Pro Bowl where they made the mistake of giving some veterans their room number. You didn't do that where you're going to end up with about a $100,000 tab you're going to have to take care of when you check out.
No, thankfully I had a couple of veterans warn me to knock about my room number. So I took note of that, and I have tape over my room door.
Spending forward to waitforit.com hotline with Will Lutz, the Proud of Northgate, joining us this morning. And, of course, a lot of people over in Decatur Street are very proud of you and your accomplishment coming from the Georgia State football program. Thoughts about your path? Because a lot of people talk about the trail that they take and the path to getting where you are. We see the success now. But you've traveled a rather unique road to get there.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy. I wouldn't say it's the hard way because, you know, I did get in my first year out and, you know, a lot of guys aren't fortunate enough to do that. But, you know, I think a lot of things just fell into place for me. I had, you know, some scholarship situations fall through going into college, which, led me to walk on to Georgia State. And then, you know, I wasn't exactly the most successful kicker in college. And, you know, we had some situations that didn't really go my way. But, you know, I think NFL coaches are able to see talent, and they were able to kind of see me as a little bit of a just a clay mold ready to kind of shape. And, you know, I had a few workouts getting out of coming out of college. And to be honest, I was surprised. I was a little surprised when coaches started calling me, but, you know, I took advantage of those opportunities. And, you know, I had a few offers on the table as a free agent. And, you know, my gut was telling me that for some reason Baltimore was the place to be when, you know, my agent, my kicking coach, even my family was kind of like, you know, why Baltimore when they have Justin Tucker, was one, arguably one of the best kickers to ever play. But, you know, I think it was a God thing telling me where to go. And, you know, I took advantage of it and ran with the opportunity to learn from one of the best. And very fortunate what those guys did for me in helping me get to New Orleans.
Yeah, and you get there, you do tremendous things. And unfortunately, we get to see you do great things against our Atlanta Falcons here in town. How special is that for you? I mean, yeah, you're playing for the Saints, and you guys have enjoyed some successful seasons since you've been there. How special is it for you to get back to come back home and play?
Well, you know, it's funny. The fans say there's such a rival and a nasty rivalry, but, you know, for a little insight for you guys, from a player standpoint, it's just another game for us. You know, it's a division game, so we see them twice a year. So, you know, that's why there's a little rivalry there. But, you know, in the locker room, it's not viewed as this nasty rivalry. So, for me, it's very special. I always circle it on my calendar. You know, my parents are able to come to the game in Atlanta, obviously. And, you know, it was really cool when they played in the old dome. And, you know, I came out of the same tunnel that I came out of in college. And so, you know, that was a special moment. And, you know, just being able to get up there the day before the game and kind of see a bunch of friends and family, it's always special playing Atlanta. And knock on wood, if I can recall, I'm like 25-25 against them. So it's my favorite game.
You would say that. And usually you get in early. We're always fortunate to see you come over and visit with Georgia State if the team is in town and playing that week. I got to let you talk a little bit. If you talk about the days playing in the Dome, contrast that to what you see now for you for the program and just the way you've seen it grow and the role you were able to play in it.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I remember, you know, we're growing so fast, and I remember when the renderings came out for all the new facilities, I was like, ah, that's far-fetched. There's no way that's going to happen. And now here we are, we look at it, and it's like the stadium's immaculate, the facilities are amazing, and it's so cool to watch from a distance how far the program's come. To the point that, you know, when it comes to recruiting, guys can't really argue that there's much better facilities in the mid-major level. And then, I mean, even some Power 5 levels, you can't really, it's tough to beat those facilities. So I think that was such a big move from a recruiting standpoint. I think it's really cool for the group of us who are in the NFL and even the guys who aren't in the NFL to see what they started and kind of slowly stack those bricks, even when it wasn't easy. And I think we're kind of seeing the fruits of our labor pay off. It's pretty cool.
Fantastic. Spending some time with Will Lutz. He's at the Pro Bowl joining us now. Former Georgia State standout, now a Pro Bowler with the New Orleans Saints. Out of wonderful Coweta County. I know the folks down there would love to give you a shout-out as well. Let me ask you something. If you go into a college bowl game, you get stuff. You know, you get swag. Do you get stuff at the Pro Bowl?
You get a lot of freebies. I think I got probably 6 pair of shoes. My fiance is not very happy about that. We got a whole suitcase of Nike gear. You know, they're just throwing things at us, and it's pretty cool. It's every time I turn the corner, I got something new. So it's pretty cool.
That's fantastic. Downtime? You haven't been over to see Mickey, or do you get to do that while you're there? Has that been part of the weekend or part of the week, or just strictly stuff with the team?
Oh yeah, I think we've been to every park. My feet are a little tired, so today should be interesting.
not good for a kicker to have tired feet, man. You got to use those feet later on today. You know,
absolutely.
Being in Orlando, many family, and what's the deal for tickets? Do you get tickets? You have to buy tickets so your family wants to come down?
Yeah, I was very fortunate to be able to bring my family down, my fiance's family, and a couple of my really close friends. you know, they shut down the whole hotel for us. And, I mean, obviously we do have to buy tickets, but they give them to us at face value. It's very nice of them. So we still have to dish out some money, but it's all good. I have no problem taking care of my family for an opportunity like this.
The jersey you're going to wear, you already know where you're going to put that. I know a lot of guys get jerseys from special games and they do special things with them. You already know what you're going to do with your first Pro Bowl jersey?
Oh, yeah, it'll be hanging up in my man cave right next to my rookie Saints jersey and my Georgia State jersey.
Wow, they're all right there together. Nice, the way he's put them all there together. That is fantastic. Obviously, you would rather be playing next week a little further south in Miami, but that's not the case. You're there. How did you leave the rest of your teammates, which a number of your teammates are there with you this week, by the way. It's a pretty strong Saints contingent there. How'd you guys leave the season after the end and another disappointing playoff finish?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, you want the Pro Bowl to be a fun experience. And, you know, if you make it to the NFC Championship and, you know, you fall short, it's one thing. But I think when you have such high expectations for the season and you go out the way we did, it's a little tougher to kind of get up for the Pro Bowl because you're just kind of shocked about how the season ended. But like I said earlier, once you kind of move on from, you know, the upset of defeat, you realize how special being here is. So I think we've all kind of moved on from it. You know, there's 32 teams in this league and one team wins it all. So it's a lot harder than people think to win the Super Bowl. It's hard to get there and it's even harder to win it. So, you know, we'll strap it up and try again next year.
Try it again with number 9. A lot of people, you know, talking about whether or not he'd be that. I can't see Drew Brees playing anyplace else. What's it like to have this guy, you know, the guy on your side, knowing that he's moving the team down the field to get him in a good position for you to score if he doesn't get a touchdown? What's that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, Drew's arguably one of the best quarterbacks ever to do it. If not, in my opinion, the best. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but I know just sharing a locker room with him and his leadership and watching his routine, how in my 4 years, his routine to literally the way he steps onto the field has been the exact same every day. And I think for me to be able to witness that, to see that, to be a part of all these records that he's breaking, man, it's like, it's so special. And I remember my rookie year, he came up to me the first day I was in the locker room and introduced himself to me. And it was so hard for me not to say, sir, because he's, you know, he's my teammate and he's my friend. And it's like, man, this guy is the best to ever do it. And here I am, teammates with him, doing whatever I can to get him to another Super Bowl. And it's special to be able to share the field with a guy like Drew.
Yeah, man, what a remarkable experience. What a remarkable ride has been in your career, which is still a young pro football career. Will, we appreciate you spending some time with us on this game day Sunday morning before your first ever Pro Bowl. Let's see. Let's hope you are the one on the field and giving that game-winning kick later on today, and hope those feet aren't too tired for walking through all the amusement parks. Thanks so much for the time. I know everybody here is really proud of you, the folks at Georgia State and the folks down at Northgate as well. Thanks so much for the time. Good luck later today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Go Panthers.
All right. That is Will Lutz, the New Orleans Saints, former Georgia State standout, the Georgia State football program's first Pro Bowler. Take some time to spend with us. And, you know, I wanted to ask him about all the stuff he got. I know, most bowl games you get a lot of swag, but 6 pair of shoes.
I'll tell you what. He's already got the right game plan. Bringing the fiance's family down
that?
For the game.
Smart man.
You want to talk about making some points?
Yeah, big time. Back with more as we get set to hand it off to Willie P, top of the hour. You stay with us on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, John Bednarowski, Marietta Daily Journal. Finishing things up, going to hand it off to Willie P, top of the hour. Great talking to Will Lutz. And you're just reflecting some about his time at Georgia State and getting a chance to be a Pro Bowler and all the cool stuff that you get, you know, when you play in a Pro Bowl game.
I would be very happy if I got 6 new pair of shoes. I mean, right off the bat.
Right. You know, welcome to Orlando, and these are yours. Nice.
Yeah, because I know how much shoes cost these days.
You know what I mean? That's great. That's great. Great to hear from him on this week before the big game. Of course, Grady Jarrett and Austin Hooper representing the Atlanta Falcons in the game that will take place later on today in Orlando. And some people wonder, would you rather be in Orlando or still be in Hawaii? And I guess there was some special things about it being in Hawaii. It always looked like a paid vacation, Hawaii. The guys were out there, they practiced. Like you said, the practices are light. You know, I kicked the ball a little bit. I was like, okay, man. You know, but you only get, in Hawaii, you get to be on the beach. The weather's nice and sunny and that type thing. So, that's just the difference, I suppose, in which location. But I know Greg, on the other side of the glass, he thinks that Hawaii, oh, yeah, they need to be in Hawaii. Or they need to play a regular season game in Hawaii. They ain't playing a mini city game in Hawaii. Next week is the big game in Miami. And by the way, the Super Bowl, I've been to a Super Bowl in Miami because that was the Falcons' first Super Bowl. That would be after the 98 season, 99. So I did cover the Super Bowl there against the Denver Broncos. A remarkable week, a busy week, worked a lot of, and then eventually the game. And you know what struck me about being at the game, which the pregame show, Kiss did like the pregame. They were out on the pregame, and they had some type of pyrotechnic thing that went out. I don't know if I was sitting, was real close to it, but I could just feel the heat from the fire that belched out of, And shout out to Dave Cohen, Georgia State Force. He's Mr. Kiss fan. He's seen them a million times. But that was what I remember. The other thing I remember was you didn't sit in the press box. There was auxiliary press box. And, there were other folks in the press box. Tommy Hilfiger was in the press box for whatever reason. He was walking around over there. But I'm sitting in auxiliary, which for people who don't know, auxiliary press box is usually a regular group of regular seats that have been sectioned off for the overflow of media, which there normally is for events of this kind. And, I'm sitting there, and okay, I'm watching the game. And I couldn't help thinking, while the game is going on, I'm hearing just a continuous conversation, John. It just seemed like people were just talking like they, I don't know if they weren't into the game or they weren't fans of the team, but it just seems like a conversation was going on. And I'm thinking, these people even, I won't say they weren't football fans. Maybe they weren't Falcon and Broncos fans, but they're just there because of the Super Bowl and they always get tickets or their job or corporate get some tickets, whatever. But just somebody that weren't in tune with the game. And that's, I just think for a real football fan, if you get to go to the Super Bowl, you're going to be tuned into the game. And I just left thinking, there are a lot of people who are real football fans who probably can't get into an event like that or maybe the Final Four that's coming up here or events like that because of the corporate and the reasonably small number of tickets that are available to the general public.
I was lucky enough to go to last year's game here in town.
Yep.
And like you said, I was equally in auxiliary media. Now, if I have the opportunity to go back, I would much rather go as a fan than as somebody working that has to sit in auxiliary media.
Okay.
Now, like you said, there are people that would have paid their last cent to go to the game, and they're going to hear me say this, and they're going to say, oh, wah. Okay? For those who don't know, auxiliary media, like you said, they sectioned off the 300 level in the upper corner of one of the end zones. Okay? And what they do is it's every other row, because what they do is they build what is essentially a long kitchen counter across the seat in front of you, which is your work area, becomes your desk, which is fine until the game starts. Because now you're in the stadium seats, and for those of you that have been able to go to Mercedes-Benz, it's kind of cramped quarters. Okay, so there's no room at your feet to put any equipment.
Right.
So you got your computer. There's the walkway behind you. Well, that's where everybody's got to put their jackets, their work bags, their cameras, all that. And you better not need to get up for anything during the game because you can't go anywhere. So it was, once you sat down, you weren't moving until at least halftime, if not until the game was over.
Man.
by the time the game's over, you're cramped so far in and you can't stretch your legs out because of the counter, the support that's built down in front of it. You're in this little cracker box.
Wow.
That is the most uncomfortable seat that you're ever going to watch a football game in. And like I said, everybody's going to go, wah, you were at the Super Bowl.
You were at the Super Bowl.
And I understand that. It is one of those things I can check off the bucket list.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was great to be at the Super Bowl. It was probably the most miserable game from a viewing experience I've ever had.
Hey, it's a thing. You want to go there as part of the job. It's one of the things that we get to do in covering sports is when we get to go to some of the major events. And I remember that event. One of the things I remember most is when the teams are going to arrive, in Miami today. When the Falcons arrived in Miami that year for the 99 game after the 98 season, they hit the streets. They went out. And they invited us to come with them, the media. We went and hung out with some of the players. They went there was a rooftop, I think, of the Hard Rock Cafe down on South Beach. And we went down and a lot of the players were there and we could mingle with them. And, we weren't out to show expose anything. They invited us to come along as media members. You could never do that now. You could get access to any players, Harley, and now except for the one night, which used to be the media day, which is now this nighttime circus they do, this live, the televised live. But you could never do anything like that back in the day. Now, I think about last year, I got sniffed by so many dogs. I got sniffed by the very best dogs all last week for Super Bowl. Everything I went to every week, yeah, they walk over this way, the dog's got to sniff you. Leaving, the dog's got to sniff you. I mean, why is the dog sniffing me when I leave? But that was last year during the Super Bowl.
You got to pay extra for that in Vegas, John.
I don't know where he was. I didn't get sniffed by a single dog.
I'm going to come in here. I'm going to say something because I'm going to put him on the spot because this is really, really relevant. So I'm going to tell you guys, go to the website to see the casting call stuff because this brings up a story that I don't know how much deep you want to get into it, but talk about being a media member the night you were down there when the Falcons played in the Super Bowl. The memo that you guys got, or how were you notified about?
Bottom line of the screen. Bottom line of the screen on TV.
He's jumping ahead. He knows what I'm talking about. When the Falcons were there, Eugene Robinson went out and stayed out a little longer, and things happened.
He didn't stay out that long.
Well, okay. But I'm trying to. Y'all don't know what happened. You need to go YouTube that or
he didn't get to be out there that long.
But
that poor Taurus got impounded.
That's how you guys found out about it, the media?
No, I mean, because we had done a preview show all that night from the stadium, and my part was from the stadium where the game's going to be played. I get back to the hotel where the media's staying, and I check a room, turn the TV on, and the bottom line of the screen, just like we see now, the bottom line crawl, Eugene Robinson, Falcons, and I'm like, whoa, and I'm calling the other guys. We're already on it. The night it already started. And nobody got sleep that night. Nobody got sleep. I don't think any of the media did. I don't think any of the players did either.
Well, it showed the next day.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, that was a really eventful time at the Super Bowl. We had that, of course. We've had our thing Super Bowl here in time. We had the Ice Storm. We had the Cobalt Lounge.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.